Welcome, everyone, to our online worship service. We were unable to be with you last week online, but if you would like a copy of the sermon notes, you can get those on Faith Life or you can call the church office. But we're so glad that you're with us today to worship because today is a very special day. Today is Resurrection Sunday. Now, every Sunday we worship the Lord. We worship Him because we worship a resurrected King. But today is especially important as we always celebrate this time of year, Easter Sunday, and focus on His resurrection, which makes our resurrection possible. So today, as we come to worship, I want to ask you to think about your resurrection story. We'll talk a little bit more about that as we look into Scripture. At this point, Pastor John's going to lead us to begin focusing on our glorious Savior, Jesus Christ.
You know, a lot of things have changed here lately, of course, in the way we live our lives and what we're doing day to day. But one thing we know never changes, and that's the love of Jesus Christ, and that He has paid the price for our sins. And we celebrate that at this time of year, and of course every day of the year, celebrating our salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ. But such a special time as we celebrate Easter. And we just want to spend a few moments once again preparing our hearts for worship. And think about this great price that was paid on our behalf, and that the Savior has risen, and we will rise indeed.
Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, He washed it white as snow. Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left some stain, He washed it white as snow.
He indeed paid it all, and we are so thankful. Today, as we approach the time of reading God's Word, I'll invite you in your living rooms, wherever you might be, open up His Word to Matthew 27, verses 50 through 54. You might want to choose someone there with you to read it out loud, or you just might want to read it individually. But if you'll take this moment and just read the scriptures there where you are. We celebrate what Jesus did for us, recognizing He is truly the Son of God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we enter into Your presence today to bring You our full heart's devotion, to exalt You, to thank You and praise You for the salvation that You bring us through Jesus. We focus so much on the cross and the pains that He went through as He suffered and died and bled for us, cleansing us of our sin, paying the price that we owed that we could not pay. But Lord, we turn our thoughts to celebration exaltation, praise, and adoration as we recognize his victory over death. And Father, today we want to put all of our thoughts there in thinking of the victory we have over death because of what Jesus has done for us, breaking the curse of sin, breaking the debt of death. We have salvation in Jesus Christ, in whose name we come to you now and pray. Amen. Now we'll sing praises to the Lord.
Christ the Lord is risen today. You know, you may be at home or wherever you're listening to this, but a time of worship nonetheless, because you don't have to be in a crowd to worship, and it's great to be, and we really miss that, being together. But, you know, some of the most meaningful times of worship that I've had has been right here in the sanctuary by myself practicing some songs. And so wherever you are this morning, this evening, whenever you're listening to this, I just challenge you to worship. Sing these words, listen to the song, and worship the risen Savior.
Christ the Lord is risen today, hallelujah. Sons of men and angels sing, hallelujah. Raise your joys and triumphs high, hallelujah. Sing
line, made like him we rise. And that's truly the thing that I want us to focus on today as we come to look at God's Word, because we are celebrating Resurrection Day. And as we continue to celebrate Resurrection Day, we're going to continue in our study of Mark's Gospel in chapter 5, verses 1 through 20, because in that passage of Scripture in Mark's Gospel, we find a beautiful resurrection story. A beautiful picture on display of Jesus bringing freedom to one who was in bondage and death. In this story, we see the next breaking news that he is sovereign over death and eternity. And that is something for us to celebrate and worship the Lord for today. So listen as I tell the story and read the scriptures of Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 20. Open your copy of God's Word if you wish to read along. We'll have it here on the screen for you as well. Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 20. They came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes. And when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. He lived among the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain, for he had often been bound with shackles and chains, but he wrenched the chains apart, and he broke the shackles in pieces. No one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains he was always crying out and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and fell down before him. And crying out with a loud voice, he said, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you, by God, do not torment me." For he was saying to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he begged him earnestly not to send him out of the country. Now a great herd of pigs were feeding there on the hillside. And they begged him, saying, "Send us to the pigs and let us enter them." So he gave them permission. And the unclean spirits came out and entered the pigs, and the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea and drowned in the sea. And the herdsmen fled and told it in the city and in the country, and people came to see what it was that had happened. And they came to Jesus and saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had had the legion, sitting there, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And those who had seen it described to them what had happened to the demon-possessed man and to the pigs. And they began to beg Jesus to depart from their region. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed with demons begged him that he might be with him. And he did not permit him to, but said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you, and how he has had mercy on you." And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and everyone marveled. Before we get too far into this event, I want to step back actually from the text and to see how it fits into the whole of Scripture. I want us to back up and take a look at the curse, the judgment, and the resurrection, and that freedom that comes in it. Because this is a dramatic presentation, a dramatic illustration of a man apart from God, so that as we look at this comparison, we actually see the opposite in this cemetery setting, in this tomb setting where this man was living, where he was residing in the tombs. We see the opposite of the garden where God was to walk with humanity in Genesis. We see that picture in the garden, and when we compare it to this, we see the cemetery. That's really the exact opposite, because it shows the ultimate end of man's progression. It shows the ultimate end of where God wanted man to be. Interestingly enough, it is God, again, who comes looking for this man, just as God came looking for Adam and Eve in the garden. So we see kind of a comparison and parallel, but then we also see God seeking after man. Because what we see here represented by this man is a picture of sin and death's end. Though you may not be possessed by a demon, without Christ, we are the living dead. We are hopeless, in chaos, enslaved to death. And just like us, this man was in that hopeless state. He was cutting himself. He was overwhelmed at the chaos of his life. One could not subdue him. No one had power over this man, and no one could save him. He was captive to this demon in the way that we are captive to sin's control over our lives. But Jesus brings freedom from bondage, freedom from hopelessness, freedom from cutting and chaos, freedom from the tombs and the grave. And how does he do this? How does Jesus bring this freedom? Through the resurrection. Through the resurrection, which is what we celebrate today. That's where we find freedom. Now let's take a moment, having seen this set in the context of the whole story of Scripture, let's take a moment to look at the details of this event. As we do, I want us to take notice of the power that is on display in this event. Excuse me, that's not the Rona, I promise. As we look at the power of Christ, as we look at the power of these demons, as we look at the power on display, we see that Jesus and his disciples have arrived on the eastern shore of the Lake of Galilee, the Sea of Galilee. And it is an area that is predominantly Gentile. And immediately we see Jesus confronted with this demon-possessed man. Matthew actually reports of this event. We see it in Luke as well. Matthew reports of two demon-possessed men, but Mark focuses on one of them for a couple of different reasons. And we see toward the end, Mark brings the focus to one of them. We've already mentioned the way that sin and death control and destroy life. But here we see the very specifics of a legion of demons, that this man was being destroyed, he was tormented, that nothing could subdue him or free him. And that the people of the area had actually learned to adjust their lives around him. They would not even go near the tombs or the graveside because this man was there. We see in Luke's account that he was naked. We see that he was crazy. He was calling out at all times in the night, yelling and screaming and crying, seeking to be set free. We see a comparison here as well, as Jesus has just come from a storm with wild waves that could not be controlled, and we see this wild man who could not be controlled, yet both coming under the authority of Jesus. And in that we see the sovereign power of the Son of God. In this, we see a fear that is displayed as well. Not only power, but fear, because these demons were terrified of Jesus. Immediately, they fall in submission before him at his feet. You can tell that they do not want to obey him. They do not want to be in submission to him, but they have no choice. The Old Testament has foretold that the Messiah will have power over all creation, both the physical and the supernatural. We've already seen in Mark's gospel that Jesus confronts demons and he demonstrates his power over Satan. But here we see also his power over the eternal spiritual realm of death. And the fear that is displayed in these demons as they are terrified, throwing themselves in submission before Jesus, begging not to be tormented, shows us a lot of things. Now Matthew and Luke add that they are begging not to be tormented before the appointed time. And then Luke says, or be thrown into the abyss. So we get a little insight in that as well. See, they recognized the absolute authority of Jesus. These demons knew that their fate lay in his hands. He is acknowledged by them as the Son of the Most High God. Isn't it interesting and odd that as we read this passage of Scripture, it is here that we find answer to the question that Mark left up in the air at the end of chapter 4. When he left that question in the air of who then is this who has power over the waves and over the wind? It is a demon who answers the question. It is the Son of the Most High God. See, the demons knew, and as we see testified in James chapter 2, they knew who God was. They believed that he was one. They feared and they trembled before him. but they did not understand why he was there. They knew God as Trinity. They knew God as Most High. They knew Jesus Christ as the only Son of the living God. And they also understood that there was a terrible future judgment that awaited them, and there was nothing that they could do about it. There are a lot of questions that come up in this passage of Scripture as we see Jesus entering into this Gentile region. A lot of questions that we might want to focus on as we ask. First of all, why did Jesus ask their name? We know him as sovereign God. He would know their name. Why did they ask to remain in the area? Why does Jesus allow them to destroy a whole herd of pigs? And while these questions are really not the point of the text, there are a couple of things that we need to consider, a couple of possible points that I want us to kind of look at in this passage of Scripture that do bring us into focusing on the point. See, Jesus is showing his sovereign authority over this event. So perhaps in answer to some of these secondary questions, we see that Jesus wanted their collective name of Legion to be declared in order, if nothing else, to reveal to the disciples that were with Jesus and to this man who was possessed the seriousness of this desperate situation, the extensiveness of the power of these demons over this man, uncontrollable by anyone else. See, it is one thing for Jesus to cast out demons in one person, as he had already done. It is quite another for him to cast out thousands of demons. These demons very much represent the destruction of sin in this cursed world. We see that they represent part of God's judgment against sin, because he gives over man to what man truly wanted. In rebelling against God, man wanted ultimate chaos and destruction. And that's exactly what we see in these demons. Perhaps Jesus, in his sovereign purpose, was allowing these demons to not only do that, but then it would allow them to enter into these pigs because of the very curse of sin and the consequence of destruction and death that sin's curse holds. Death's curse had to be carried out. Therefore, someone had to be destroyed. Much the same in the garden when Adam and Eve sinned, death, blood had to be shed. Death had to be carried out as a fulfillment to the curse of sin. And in this very way, we see that the man's life was exchanged for the life of these pigs, so that this man might be spiritually brought to life from the very graveyard where he resided. And what we see in this is a beautiful picture of life from death and sacrifice and resurrection. Don't miss that beautiful picture here. Jesus allows this man and the witnesses that were seeing this whole thing transpire to see his authority over the demons, who were too strong for the whole city to contain, but yet had to bow in obedience before the God and Creator and Sovereign King, Jesus. But now their livestock, these herdsmen's livestock, more than 2,000 pigs were destroyed. What an amazing event this would have been. An amazing event, so much so that the whole town and the region of the countryside had to come out and see what had taken place. Can you imagine the bacon, the sausage, the ribs, the pulled pork, the ham, all of these things that were destroyed in that very moment? Now, we don't know for sure that all of that food was destroyed. It's quite possible they were able to salvage some of the meat that was there. What we do know for certain, as this gospel continues to show us, is that these people didn't even care about the man who was one of them who had been freed from his helpless state. They had already counted him off as dead, as someone to avoid, as someone demons were going to finish off, as someone beyond hope. what we notice here is just like that event where the disciples were fearful for their lives before Jesus calmed the storm, then even more fearful afterwards, we see that same thing taking place. We know that they were frightened. The people were frightened before of the demon. So frightened they wouldn't even go by that area of the grave and the tombs. But now, after Jesus brings freedom from death and the tombs, resurrection, if you will, from the grave, now the people are even more frightened. It leaves us with the question hanging in the air. And these people answer that question by saying that they were more concerned about how this event might change their lives than they were the fact that this demon-possessed man was now freed of the death sentence that he had carried. Now they were more concerned about how they could get rid of him, this Jesus, that they didn't understand, that they could not control, that they did not want to change their lives. They were more concerned with getting rid of him, of how they might get him and convince him to leave them. Boy, that shows us a reality that I think we need to understand, that so often people will listen to the stories of Jesus. They will come out and see the spectacle as long as it doesn't require a change in their lives, something that would upset the norm. Well, our norm has quite obviously been upset and changed. God is shaking us to the foundations to get our attention, to show us that we might also have a resurrection story. I want you to notice in the very last part of this passage, verses 19 and 20, that this man quite naturally wanted to be with Jesus. His life had been transformed. So he eagerly wanted to be with Jesus, to go back in the boat with him, as Jesus agreed to this crowd of people who weren't yet ready for him. He goes to get back in the boat, and this man's simple request is, "Let me come with you." It seems like an obvious request. It seems like the very request that would need to take place as Jesus is growing those who are truly his disciples and followers, and walking them along on the journey with him. You would think that his answer would be yes, but right here we see he says no. Why? Well, we see because this man was transformed to tell his story. See, these people in this area, these Gentile people, mostly Gentile people, they weren't ready yet for Jesus. They weren't ready yet. Their hearts weren't prepared. It was hardened. Their soil needed to be prepared. It needed to be shaken up. It needed to be tilled, and the ground needed to be broken. So how can Jesus accomplish this if he gets on the boat and leaves? Simple. He sends an ambassador. He leaves an ambassador, a constant reminder to live the resurrection life in front of them every single day. See, by Jesus' plan, which never really is what we would think should be his plan, but it's always the perfect plan, he leaves this man there. This man who would be right there with them every single day, eating baby back ribs with them and telling them the story about what happened to him. This man, this ambassador, would be a permanent reminder of the gospel right in their faces. Doesn't that sound like the Great Commission to you? By the way, it's interesting to notice that Jesus would later send out his apostles two by two, and even later he would send out the disciples, up to 70 of them two by two, but this was the first preacher that Jesus would send out, a Gentile man, to tell his resurrection story. Jesus in this passage responds to this man with a commission to go and to tell them what has happened. A commission, we should remember, that doesn't require a seminary degree. He didn't have to spend weeks and weeks with Jesus learning a whole lot. All this man had at this moment in time was a testimony of what Jesus did to free him from death. Therefore, if you have been saved, then you have all you need to help someone else come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. So this week, if you are a follower of Christ, I want to challenge you to share your resurrection story. I want us to flood the world of social media and ask other believers that you know to do the same. To tell your resurrection story. To tell your redemption from sin and death. To tell of how you were freed by Jesus Christ. It doesn't take a long dissertation. Just a short one paragraph summary of your life before Christ. How you met Christ. And your life since then. I mean, Jesus said simply, just go and tell people what happened to you. That was his simple instructions in verse 19. Here's an example. Here's my simple one paragraph story. By God's grace, I was born into a family that loved me and introduced me to the spiritual truths of Scripture. But until I was 15, I thought I had to be a good person to earn my way to heaven. I believed if my good deeds outweighed my bad deeds, when I died, I would go to paradise. When I was 15, the Lord showed me that nothing I could do would ever make up for my sins against God. It was then that He showed me that someone else paid the price for my sin. God revealed that Jesus died to pay my debt of sin, and He was raised from the dead to give me victory over death and eternal life. I have believed and confessed this truth and founded my entire life upon it. Now my God resides in me through the Holy Spirit to help me obey Him until He returns to take me to heaven to be with Him forever. I ask you to do the same, to share your resurrection story. It doesn't have to be complicated. It can be as simple as this paragraph. Flood social media this week with the greatest and really only important message that everyone needs to hear. Your resurrection story. That is, if you know Him as Lord and Savior. What we see continuing in this scripture is that this man was obedient. He went and he told his resurrection story in the cities of the Decapolis, the 10 cities of that region. We'll find the rest of the story later in chapter 7 of Mark's gospel. But stepping back now from this, zooming back away from this event to the larger biblical account and context, notice that what the Lord did here is amazing. He had led His disciples through a storm all night long to the other side of the lake for just this one convert. Do you see the passion and pursuit of this shepherd who left the other sheep in order to find the lost and dying sheep? Just as He came from the heavens of glory to the cruel cross to pursue someone like you and someone like me. Jesus and the gospel story of His resurrection, today He is pursuing you. Maybe you don't know this story. Maybe you don't have a resurrection story yet. But today you're hearing for the first time that God came out of the blessings of heaven, entered this sin-ridden world, lived the perfect innocent life, died in our place, your place, so that you might have eternal life, and was resurrected from the grave to defeat death that we might have eternal life. If you want to know more about that, I would love to share that story with you. Love to share my resurrection story with you so that you might come to know Him as Lord and Savior and have your own resurrection story. And if you are a follower of Christ today, share your story. You have been transformed to tell the story of Jesus and your resurrection. Let's worship the Lord together as we sing His praises. No sting. Hell has no victory. If you have been saved by Jesus Christ, if you are his follower today, you have an amazing resurrection story. And I just want to encourage you, take some time, write out your story. It needs to be shared. We need to tell the world what Jesus has done for us. Just as amazing as the story of this formerly demon-possessed man who had been freed from the tombs. He has freedom for eternity, and he went and told his story. So you need to do the same. And if you don't have that story yet, please, please contact us. Let us know. We want to tell you how you can know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Let's continue to worship together.
Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future. And life is worth the living just because he lives. Let's sing together.
God sends his son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my.
Worshiping online with us. We're so glad that you've been able to join us in this way, in this venue. A couple of things to mention coming up. What's ahead? I know it gets very redundant during this quarantine time, but we can continue to pray and seek the Lord and ask him to help us through this time, help us to use it as an opportunity to reach others and tell others of the glorious, glorious salvation they can find in Jesus Christ. And I hope you will actually write that testimony of your life, your resurrection story, and email it into the church office. You can find our website, obcocala.org, and we'd love to see your testimony. We'd love to see just a short paragraph testimony that you've shared out on your social media. Also, this week on Wednesday, we'll have a Zoom prayer meeting. This time, we're going to have a video recorded from our partner church in Ireland and their church planner, Joel Marcus. So you'll want to join us there for that meeting at 6 o'clock on Wednesday. Then next Sunday, we plan, God willing, to be driving in to worship service again and having another drive-in worship service at 10 o'clock out in the softball field on our church campus. We'd love for you to join us. It's just good to be able to see each other through the windows of the cars. Don't forget that the youth are getting together on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock for a live stream youth night, and they're also starting to meet on Sunday nights as well. For a live stream time together, so get in touch with them. You can get information OBC at the well, and they would love to connect with you. Don't forget to start a youth group or a life group, not a youth group, but a life group that can meet online with some other people. We'd love for you to be able to participate during this time with other believers just for encouragement and prayer. You can do that through Zoom or Google meeting places or whatever social media platform you might want to do that. Just find a way to find some encouragement, look at some Bible verses, let us know that you've started that. We want to know about that, and we want to resource you with anything that we can as far as Bible passages and things to discuss. If you're still stuck at home looking for something to do for the kids, we do have some more kids packets. You can come by the church office or call Connie, and she can get those to you. Don't forget that part of our worship is through tithes and offerings. You can continue to give at obcocala.org, or you may send it in the mail to the church office or drop it by sometime. Or if you come to the drive-in service, you can be prepared, and we'll continue to take up offerings there as well. Maybe you're new to Oak Crest Baptist Church and you're watching this for the first time. Maybe you've seen it through Facebook or something else, and you've like to have more information about the church. You can find that on our website, or call the church office if you'd like to find out what it means to be a member of Oak Crest Baptist Church, or any other questions that you might have. Again, we are so excited that you've joined us, and we thank you for giving honor and glory to the King of Kings. We'll see you again real soon.